This morning, I'm going to talk about the mission of the Holy Spirit. And the leadership feels a real prompting over the next several months. You know, this year we have been talking about how should we live. And we recently met. We actually had our wives there with us, and so we were sharing. And I had felt like the Lord had really prompted me to, because, you know, when you preach messages that emphasize how should we live, as Fred says, there's a lot of things you could preach on. But one of the things, and today it's interesting because of the prophetic words that came forth, that God is calling us to be spiritually engaged. I thought what Chuck said about there's a line, it's not a bad line, but it's a line that we have been to, some of us, many times. And there are things of destiny and purpose. There are things that that God has called us to do, because there are people both in this church and outside this church that are looking for what God has put in you. Now, you've heard me preach that message many times, because if you cut me open, that's what I bleed, you know. I do, serving God, helping people, you know, to find their place in the kingdom of God. I love doing this. I love it. And what I'm excited about is there are more and more of you that are responding. But there's another group out there, and there may be new things. And one of the things that I want to talk about this morning is out of John chapter 16, the mission of the Holy Spirit. Now, we got a little bit of time, and I've got something I don't normally have. I've got about 6 points that I want to highlight. So I may not get through everything. There are some people that don't have a relationship with the Lord that that I am very much praying for, and asking God and the Holy Spirit to influence them. And so during my study and doing my prayers over the last few weeks, the Lord has been taking me into the book of John. Now, I know some of y'all did a book study, the whole book. And there have been a lot of good things that have come out of that. But John 16 is a chapter of the Bible. And these particular verses that Jesus is talking about, the mission of the Holy Spirit, that are important for us to know. Every believer, okay? I'm going to read actually from the New International Version, and then I've got some other scriptures from some other translations that I'm going to read. But you can follow along on the screen. Verse 5, this is Jesus. He says, "Now I'm going to him who sent me." Obviously, he's talking about the Father. He said, "Yet none of you asked me, where are you going? And because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." And then in verse 12, he says, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you." That's what the Holy Spirit was doing this morning. Now, John chapter 16, and I'm not going to get into this, but there's a lot of debate over this chapter. There's some things that are going on here, like... the gifts of the Spirit coming to an end. I mean, I'm not going to get to talk about verse 12, but I'm going to come back to that in a couple of weeks. That really talks about prophecy. Is what happened this morning, is that still alive, or did we just do something because it was a good exercise? Because some people believe that the Spirit of truth, which, God revealing by His Spirit things to you, is not active anymore. But that's not what we believe. And I'm grateful for the way that that Fred and Chuck exercised that particular gift. Now, if you look at what Jesus was doing, Jesus was preparing His disciples to complete the mission that He had started with them. And He wanted them to know that the Holy Spirit would be sent to them, even though He's going to go away, and that it would go into the world. And He wanted them to know what the mission of the Holy Spirit was. Now, I want to say to us, I want to caution us, because sometimes when we look at these kind of things about, you know, what it is that Jesus was saying and the belief of what the Holy Spirit is doing in the world, that, you know, we sometimes think, well, you know, how is that relevant to me? But I want you to know, when you really get into this chapter, you see strongholds, you see things that happened many years ago that are still active today. We have a couple of men that work for BP, all right? And there's a lot of emphasis on what's going on with the oil spill and all that. But, you know, and it's being called a catastrophe, and yes, it is. And we pray. We've been praying not only for what's going on in the Gulf, but we've been praying for those families that are involved, that work for BP. But I want to use that to begin this, because do you realize there's a spiritual and moral and even an intellectual catastrophe that has happened to the world, and they don't know it. And the church is called to respond in the same way that we see all of the BP, and I'm not, this thing is really, let me just say, I know it's become very political, and all of those people that are working on this, the church is called to a catastrophe because the world is really bankrupt spiritually, morally, and intellectually. And what happens is kind of like the story of the frogs, you know, that are in in the boiling pot, and we're that way. Because the values and the things that the world believes, somehow they kind of influence us, and we just kind of go to sleep to what the mission of the Holy Spirit is. And this message is not to try to beat us up because we don't go out and witness, or we don't give out tracts, or all those kind of things. It's to help us to see what the mission of the Holy Spirit is. And that I have to say, in doing the study that I did, there were some things that I'm like, God, is that really you? That's really what the Holy Spirit is doing? It's there. It's in the book. And so I want to talk about this morning. Look at verse 7. Jesus is saying to them, He's going to be returning to be with His Father, and it's going to be a good thing. I'm sure that was hard for them to understand, because it's going to open up what? It's going to open up that the Holy Spirit could be sent to them. And then in verse 8, he talks about it coming to the world. And we see that the mission of the Holy Spirit is what? It's to bring conviction to the world of what? Of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, I know that Fred calls them sometimes, Christianese, but they're biblical words. And the average person, listen, that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ is not going to understand if you go out and begin to talk about those things necessarily. But nonetheless, those are the words that Jesus used to talk about what the Spirit was going to be doing. Now, this morning, we honored, what, 40 or 50 people, relatives, some that were standing here who served in our military. And you know that our military history as a country, we have seen how it has been important to understand the mission that our armed forces was given. I mean, Fred, wasn't that part of the problem in Vietnam, is that there wasn't a clear mission I remember talking to my cousin who served, who was in the infantry, and he saw a lot of action over there, and he said it was hard to know what their mission was because actually a lot of times they didn't know who the enemy was. The enemy one day was a neighbor, you know, neighbors in a community, and the next day they're trying to kill you. Well, that makes it difficult when you don't know what your mission is. This morning I want to say to you that this chapter, not just what I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit to speak through me, this chapter, John 16, is important. If you're a parent with children, if you're a young person, a young adult, you have friends that are not Christians, if you work in the marketplace, or you just simply have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And how many of you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ today? Okay, the rest of y'all that didn't raise your hands, you can have that happen today. And I know you do. Most of you do. But you understand what I'm saying to us is this is important, to know the mission of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's get into it or I won't finish it. The first one out of John 16 in these verses, verses 5, and we'll only get really through verse 11, is that the mission of the Holy Spirit is to convict people of their need to believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. You believe that? I mean, that's really what the Holy Spirit, that is the primary thing that He is coming. We see the very first thing. But let's look at a couple of things in this. The word convict, which some people don't like to hear, but it really means in the Greek to reprove or to correct. Our word in the English that is equivalent to that is the word to expose, which really means to display to the public or to expound, explain, or to unmask. Now, when you think about a mask, what do you think? Somebody is hiding, so we don't know who they are. But the Holy Spirit comes to convict people of their need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. When you're out there, whether you be at school or whether you be at work, there are people, obviously, that are all around us, and they're not thinking necessarily about having a relationship with Christ, are they? Not until the Holy Spirit comes and begins to prompt them. Now, I want you to think about something, what Jesus was saying. He was saying that the Holy Spirit was going to come, that it was going to come to the church, to the believers, to His followers, to His disciples, and then it would go to the world. But I want to make something very clear, that the person that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ does not have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, residing in them, in their inner being, like you and I do. Do you agree with that? So, we're going to look at that. Just hang on to that thought. That's important for us. Jesus said this in John chapter 8, verse 24. He said that people die in their sins because they refuse to believe that I am the one I claim to be. That scripture this week as I was studying hit me. You realize what he's saying? It's not that people don't live a good enough life. It's not that they're not going to live a perfect life. The reason that they die in their sins is because they don't believe personally in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Now, there's a lot of confusion and a lot of things. Let's look at something. And you've heard these before. When people talk about if they're a Christian or if they believe in God and whether they will receive eternal salvation, here are just three things that are very common that we hear. Many people believe if the good in their life outweighs the bad, they're going to receive eternal salvation. We've heard that for years. If their parents were Christians, if they went to church some, with their parents as a child, there are people that believe that they'll be grandfathered in and receive salvation because their parents were Christians. That's not true, is it? But a lot of people believe that. People that you work with, people that you grew up with. And another one is that because they believe that there's a God who exists, that they're a Christian. There are a lot of gods that people believe in. There are a lot of beliefs and religions in our country today, but there's only one God. And there's only one way that we have a relationship with the Heavenly Father, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ. That's why the mission of the Holy Spirit is to convict the world that they need to have a personal relationship with God's Son, Jesus Christ. And what we need to hear and understand is that many of them don't have a clue to that. They don't realize that the most important decision that they will ever make in their life is to believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Secondly, excuse me, some of you have the same thing I do. The Holy Spirit shows that sin is the selfishness that sets itself apart from God. Let me read that again to you. The Holy Spirit shows that sin is the selfishness that sets itself apart from God. You see, the convicting work of the Holy Spirit goes deeper. It goes after the root of the problem. Now, if you think about an act of disobedience to God, and a lot of people do, that's not the root of the problem, is it? It's the result of living a life where we are apart from God. The real sin, the real root of sin in a person's life is that they want to live their life apart from God. When you and I are disobedient to God, and we do something, it's that old spirit that's coming in us that says, hey, I can do what I want to do. I can do this thing. I'm going to be apart from God. But the truth is that we have the Spirit. But see, the world doesn't have the Spirit in them, do they? And so the Holy Spirit has to come to show them that the sin, the real issue of sin, is the selfishness. It's the heart of the attitude. That's the thing that has to be changed. And what that is really just a general spirit or an attitude of the heart. And once that is changed by the prompting of the Spirit and by God's Word, then what they find, as we have found, is that they can live a life that can be pleasing to God. Where none of us are going to live a life without sin. We're going to miss the mark. But when you have the Spirit of God working in you, then it is the thing that draws you back, as Brenda did, to repent for the attitude that that this nation had when the Vietnam vets returned from the Vietnam War. Now, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, would bring light to the true meaning of sin and even righteousness and judgment. And so the mission of the Holy Spirit is to help people to see that transformation, salvation, starts on the inside. If there's not a change of heart, this is why people struggle. I mean, people talk about once saved, always saved, and we say we believe in once saved, always saved, but we believe that the Bible teaches when you have been saved and there's transformation, you're a new person. You've been taken from a kingdom of darkness, brought into a kingdom of light, and there's something that's changing in you. See, that's what the world needs to hear. But the world gets caught up many times in, I can't overcome a particular habit. I can't overcome a pattern. My daddy did it, so I'm going to do it. My mama did it. My sister did it. Are things that we just don't want to give up in our human strength. But listen, we're not alone. You and your human strength and whatever wisdom that you have are not going to convince them without the prompting of the Holy Spirit. That ought to give us hope. What Jesus said, it's better for you that I go away. I mean, you have one man that's showing the world what God is like. When the Holy Spirit came, you have a universal presence. One of the people that I'm praying for has really good values in his life. But he doesn't see his need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He doesn't see his need yet to be close to God. But you know what? The more he gets around it, the more he's being drawn into it. And I'm praying, God. You know, and I'm not going to go beat him over the head either. I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit because, listen, he's getting closer to things that could be a door for the Spirit to influence his life. And you have people, I know many of you do, that you're praying for. Some of you have older children that you're praying for. Last week when we had the Awana Club honoring our first year, man, it's such a good thing. But listen, just because a child quotes Scripture, they still have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They can't ride your coattails into the kingdom. The third task in the mission of the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit convicts that Jesus lived a righteous life and has returned to his Father as our advocate. You know, when I was studying this week, it is almost like, you know, sometimes when you deal with parents and, you know, there's something with going on with their kids, they can become very defensive. Now, God's attitude is just and right in all this, but it's almost like when you look at Jesus returning to the Father and he's lived a righteous life, God wants this world to know that Jesus had a righteous life, that he was without sin, and the fact that he has returned to the Father is proof of that. You hear what I'm saying? I mean, people want, you know, and I know that may be kind of theological for us, but obviously it was important because Jesus was telling his disciples this. 1 John 2, verse 1 from the New American Standard Bible says it this way. It says, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not know sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." See, the Holy Spirit affirms that Jesus lived a sinless life and that he prays for us really as an intercessor. I mean, that word advocate also means an intercessor, that our lives would be what? Surrendered to the Father as well. That's what God was speaking to us this morning. You understand? I mean, the prophetic word that we got today was about surrendering our lives to God's will. Isn't that right, Fred? Chuck? Yeah. And so what happens is, what the Holy Spirit does is it convinces the world, the person without a relationship in Christ, that Jesus lived a perfect life, a sinless life, that he's with his Father, that he's praying there as an intercessor today. Even though the world has discredited him. See, the thing that we have to see is that those strongholds and those spiritual deceptions are still alive and active today, even though the power of them has been broken. Jesus is our intercessor, and he's an intercessor that surrendered his life to God's will. He prays for us. He prays for the world that they might come to have a relationship with him. The fourth task in the mission of the Holy Spirit this morning is that the Holy Spirit convicts the world of their era, listen, in believing that Jesus was condemned by his trial and death as being unrighteous. I mean, think about it. Jesus, this is a real stronghold for some people. We don't think about it as much, maybe. But do you understand that there are people that discredit Christ because he was tried, he was crucified as a criminal? Well, what has a criminal done? They've committed sins against the community, against the citizens, right? Jesus was crucified as a common criminal. But the Holy Spirit comes to convict the world that they're in error. And you know, and I know that people don't understand this, but it's not Jesus. See, Jesus, he's been affirmed. He's with the Father. He lived a life without sin. He is the Messiah. He is the one that he said that he is. He went to be with the one that he said who sent him. And even though he was on trial, he was crucified in error. Do you know who's on trial now? The world. The world is on trial. I was listening to the guys that work for BP. I was listening to some of the testimony. You know, of course, it's always interesting how our government jumps in to do a lot of investigations before the problem is resolved. But as I listened to some of these men talk about their experience, they were on the rig, and some of those, Jason knows some of those men involved in that particular project. But as I listened to them talk about how they were trying to do all that they could because of the danger, the imminent danger. And do you understand, I'm using that as an example because, you know, I mean, if you go up to somebody that doesn't have a relationship, doesn't know much about the Bible, and you say to them, you know, you're on trial, they're going to laugh. How many of y'all have ever been to court, criminal court? We'll pray for y'all after the service today, okay? I have been. Not because I've been arrested, but because I had to be there to support some people. And, you know, every time that the judge, when he has the people that, have, you know, they've been arrested and they've been, you know, accused of a crime, he says to them, okay, you know, he says you have three choices. You can either represent yourself by going to the DA, and he says, I wouldn't advise that you do that. He said, you can prove that you're destitute, because people think just anybody can get the government to pay for, a lawyer. He said, you can prove that you're destitute. You can sell everything that you have, and then those funds will go to the court, and then we'll hire a lawyer for you. Or you can go out and hire a lawyer to help you. Now, you know, and I know that's a very traditional, very common way for us to look at what is happening in a person's life that doesn't have a relationship with Christ. But do you understand it is so important for us to be able to share our faith, to build relationships, because the truth is there is a judgment day that's going to come. And the judgment day is not going to be about whether a person lived a perfect life or all those kind of things. It's going to be about, did you believe in my son, Jesus Christ, believing that he died on the cross for you, believing that he was willing to forgive you of your sins, and that he is in heaven with me, and he has been there ever since the ascension when he returned to be with his Father. It's personally applied. It's believing and having faith. It's not about the things. And listen, you see, there are churches for years that have lived and taught, you know, this model about works will save you. Works will not save you. And I, y'all know that, but do you understand? It's like the guys talking about, you know, hitting the, Jason, the EDS or whatever, all the alarms that they had, they needed to do. Listen, I'm not saying that we, you know, you have to go out and beat everybody over the head, but the church needs to be sounding the alarm. The world is on trial, not Jesus Christ. There is a day of judgment that's going to come. And if you look back at John 8, verse 24, even though we know that the scripture says that God doesn't desire that anyone would perish, but the truth is they do. We need to be motivated by the Spirit to the opportunities that God gives to us. Let me move quickly. Number five is the Holy Spirit convinces people that the absolute hold of Satan has been broken and that the righteous life can be lived in the world. This is a stronghold that people, that the enemy still you know, has over us. But listen, it's been broken, but people need to know by the prompting of the Holy Spirit that they can live a life that's pleasing to God and they can live it in the world. I mean, people say, you know, if I could just get to heaven, I would be okay. No, the promise of God's word and the work of the Holy Spirit says that listen, Satan has been, if you want to know what judgment is, Satan has been judged. That's what Jesus is saying. The judgment has taken place. He's been condemned. His power has been broken. The world needs to know that. Is everybody going to run to your inviting? No, they're not. But those that are prompted by the Holy Spirit, those places of relationship that you have, those people are going to hear it. They're going to welcome it. They're going to be glad that you've shared what you have with them. They're going to be glad that you have lived the kind of life that you have before them. The salt and the light, that your life is surrendered. A lot of people in the world today don't come to Christ because they believe that they can't give up. Sometimes it's only one thing in their life, a pattern, a sin. It may be more. But the Holy Spirit convinces them that Satan's hold has been broken and they can live a life that's pleasing to God. And number six, here it is, church. The Holy Spirit empowers the church to provide a bold testimony of the truth. If you go back, let's go back to verses 7 and 8. And Jesus said, but I tell you the truth, it is good that I'm going away, because unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Where was he going first before he went to the world? To you, and to you, and to you, and to me, and to all of us. Because why? The world doesn't have the Spirit in them. So how does he work? How does he prompt? Through us. That's why your life is so important. That's why what you do in the dark and what you do at home with your spouse and with your kids, it matters. You see, because people are looking at that, and we think we hide behind those kind of things. But listen, the Holy Spirit empowers our testimony. Not only empowers our words, but the lives that we live. I mean, that's what Jesus was saying. He's going to come to you. I'm going to send him to you. You're going to carry on the mission. You're going to be the salt and light. You're going to be able to surrender your will to the Heavenly Father just like I have done. That's why God is speaking prophetically to this church. Because, listen, we're moving that direction more. I mean, 60 kids coming, you know, to the Awana Club. That's the primary age. It's the primary age for evangelism. And they're not all coming from within this church. Hey, thank you that 27 or almost 30 people signed up for high-powered soccer. You see what I'm saying? There's a stirring in us. And it's the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Because there are people out there, no matter how hostile it looks and how bleak things are, and how discouraged we may be by circumstances, the power of God is moving to bring people into the kingdom, and he's working on little hearts. Acts 1:8, you're familiar with it, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. There's an author, Gary Birds, that I read from time to time, and he wrote a very powerful statement. He says, the church's testimony should uncover true, what, vertical, so that the world can see how it has skewed our reality. It's interesting today, we have all these reality shows, but listen, true vertical about God's word and about sin, judgment, righteousness, in light of what Christ has done, it's skewed. And the world is looking for those that will bring the plumb line of God's word, God's life, and his Spirit There are people that are looking for that and desperately need it. David wrote about the same kind of thing from Psalm 51, 12, and I'm almost done, from the New American Standard Bible, when he said, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you." And Psalm 110, verse 3 says that your people will volunteer freely in the day of your power. That's why high-powered soccer had almost 30 people, because the Spirit of God is moving in Christ's Covenant Church, and people are willing to volunteer freely that the gospel might be sown, that seeds would be planted. It's not only going to be in the children, though. Listen, that's the primary age. It is the age that we are going after, but their parents as well. And I want to encourage you. You're doing a great job. You know, I mean, it's exciting to see what God is doing through you and in you. And if you'll continue, those of you that today were stirred by something in the prophetic word, that there's a line in the sand, but it's a good line. It's a good line. It's a good line. In closing today, and I'm going to pray for us as a congregation, but listen, I know some of you say, "Hey, you know, Pastor Dennis, there's a lot of things going on in my life," and there may be. But I want to tell you something. You are never going to have it all together. You are never not going to miss the mark on this side of eternity. And you've heard me say this again, but if you wait until you think you've got it all together, you will miss the destiny and purpose that God has for you. And God will have to raise up somebody else, because it is sometimes in just the little things when the Holy Spirit prompts us, when He works in His Word, because remember, His Word doesn't return void. The Holy Spirit is on the attack. You believe that? I mean, He is on the attack. He has a mission. And whether we come and be a part of that, He'll raise up somebody else that'll do it. But I'm grateful because this church is responding, and I bless you for that. And let me pray for you now. Father, I thank you for Christ Covenant Church. Lord, not the organization. I thank you for the living stones. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this place, God. Lord, it's not about me. Lord, it's not about preaching. It's not about any of those kind of things. Lord, the only thing that I have done is given my testimony, God, that you've been faithful to me, Lord, my life, Lord, when it wasn't very pleasing to you. Lord, there are times I know that my life is not pleasing, God, but I ask for forgiveness. Lord, I continue to serve you. Lord, I'm grateful that you use me in whatever way that you can. But Father, you are moving in this place. You are moving in this community. Lord, you are moving in the lives of people, that people would be drawn into your kingdom. Lord, I pray that you would empower us, Lord, that you would help us to see and to hear clearly, Lord, those things that you have called us to do, and Lord, that we would do all that you have prepared for us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Chuck, would you come?
Thank you, Pastor. I'm not sure about you guys, but my heart was stirred about the Holy Spirit today. Amen. To step over that line and to embrace what God has for us now and for in the future. And so thank you, Pastor, for stirring that up today. He's generous to allow me to address you. I apologize for holding you a little afterwards. As many of you know, there's been some letters already sent out to you and about the Uruguay project, and Dennis just wanted me to stir that up a little bit and speak it again. Just a reminder that Uruguay is a nation that's probably the least evangelized of nations, the one that has had the least visitation of the Holy Spirit, to emphasize the message today. And so three years ago, a friend of mine died in an accident there, and the Lord spoke to me that her life, her blood was seed for future outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God to be poured out to that nation, and that I was assigned to go to that nation and begin to prophesy that. I did that the first trip 2 years ago. went to her gravesite and began to prophesy as the Lord instructed me with two Argentine pastors. This particular time, we're going back to spy out the land and find that place where God wants us to work. I have a couple of churches and leads to work with churches. I don't know if he's going to move in the capital or some small town. I don't know. All I know is that I'm called to go and proclaim that. And I need prayer. Amen. Prayer for God to give the favor and to open the appropriate doors so that when we step in there, you know, we're stepping in a place that's already been prepared for us. Secondly, of course, as some of the letters you've received, and there's letters out front, we're needing funds to be able to go and do this. I have a team of some of the great leaders of Argentina who believe in the project that I'm working in, and they're prepared to go with me in whatever assignment God would give to me.